Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. We're on. Mary? I think you have your radio. You have to shut your computer off. No one can hear me.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Hi, Marcia Cook.
But I can hear Mary's background.
Yeah, I know. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and we have our special breast cancer awareness show tonight. And we have some of the same guests that we've had before. And my co-host tonight, I'm very happy to say, is Carol Solomon Pressel. Hello. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Marcia.
I'm so happy. You have good news for everybody about what year this is for you. We're going to announce, say that first before we do anything else.
In 2 weeks, it will be 5 years that I have been diagnosed as a survivor.
Yay.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, this is the third show. Right, and this is the third show that, you know, we've had. And so we're really happy. We've got, Mary is out there. Let me just put her back in. Okay. Okay. All right, and now we have on our show tonight, we have Bennett. Bennett, hi, Bennett.
Hi, how are you? This is Bennett Pomerantz.
I'm good. This is the,
from Anything Goes.
Yes, okay, there he goes. And, I didn't put the music on tonight because this is a special show. This is not really about marketing or pushing ourselves or just talking about what we do. This is purely about breast cancer, and that's what we're doing today. And we have Rich Weiner here, and we have Mary here. Mary, I think she's on. Mary Hagberg-Meyer, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Good.
Mary and Rich, they are both breast cancer survivors also. And Rich is one of the special guests tonight because a lot of people do not know that men get breast cancer. And so I'm going to let Rich talk first. I think, Carol, don't you think this would be a good thing? So people will, hear his story first, and then we're going to talk to Mary and Carol and Bennett.
Absolutely. I actually have a statistic for men's breast cancer.
Okay. All right. So again, Carol is my co-host for today. So, Carol, you can okay, Rich, are you on? Hi, Rich.
Yes.
Hi.
Okay.
You've been on before, and I should say you were on before for your dating book, right? Dates Gone Wrong, and you were talking about this is your life now, and you're going to be happy, and you're going to live your life and just go with it. And then I don't think it was much later, you had breast cancer. So do you want to talk a little bit about what happened to you? I mean, you were talking about this is your time, your wife had it, and you went through 9 years of hell back and forth, and then you get it.
Right. Well, it was my second wife, and we were married for 10 and a half total years. And after the first year, she came down with breast cancer. And she was on the tamoxifen, and after 4 years, it metastasized to her liver and her bones. So I learned an awful lot. I saw what she was going through, and I had an education like I didn't want. And after she had passed away in February of 2007, and for a while there, and then I was still working at that time. I'm retired now. But when I started dating, I started having some horrendous dates. I mean, they were terrible. And I wrote a book about not mine, but a couple of mine, but mostly all other people's bad dates. And it was extremely funny, and I was starting to write another book when all of a sudden, one day in the shower, actually this past February, taking a shower, and I felt something that wasn't supposed to be there. And I could thank my late wife for the way I acted, because I immediately knew that it wasn't going to go away by itself. I had a good idea what it was. So I made appointments with my internist, who made the appointment to the breast surgeon, who did all kinds of, did a biopsy, a mammogram, and an ultrasound. And that was on a Monday. On a Tuesday, the next day she called me and says, you have a small breast cancer. She says, come in on Friday, and we will discuss your options. Well, right after I got off the phone with her, I called up the oncologist, who we have a relationship with. He told me exactly what to do. And when I went in to see the breast surgeon on Friday, I said, I know what I'm doing. Clear your schedule next week. When can you get me in? I got to get this damn thing out. So anyway, I went in on that following Tuesday and had a mastectomy. I was wearing a drain for 10 days. Had a nurse come to the house every other day to change it. And I had a port put in my arm, and I started chemotherapy in April.
And then you just were diagnosed in February?
Yes, right. And I got it through a small, most men find their tumors at 2.5 centimeters. I found mine at 1.4. And it did get into two lymph nodes, but they took out 15, which were all clean. So I was classified as stage 2, which is treatable and curable. So
absolutely.
I went through the 4 rounds of chemo, and, you know, people say what it was like. I says, if you haven't gone through it, you don't know what it's like. I says, because you
really
hear the flu and then multiply it by 10. And the last round put me in the hospital with pneumonia, and it did other things to me. My blood sugars are way up there, but I put it in the rearview mirror. I see my oncologist every 3 months. I feel like I'm back to 100%, and I wrote a book. And I wrote a book from the time,
I was just going to say, when was your last chemo treatment?
May 31st is my last treatment. And
you don't forget those days.
The hardest part actually was when I lost my hair, and I've always had hair my whole life. And every time I walked past the mirror, I said, oh, my God, I look like Mr. Potato Head with ice. You know?
I look like the initial entire girl.
Yeah, I couldn't get used to that. I was going to super glue a hat to my head. So, you know, and I only took one picture of myself during the whole treatment. But I wrote this book from the time I started, from the discovery. And I wrote every day, even while I was going through chemotherapy. And it's been very successful. And I'm raising money for breast cancer research because every book I sell, 20% goes right to a donation.
That is so fabulous.
Yep.
And now you have to go every 6 months, correct, to your doctor?
Every 3 months.
Doctor.
Right now, I'm going every 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on Tamoxifen, and the thing I don't like about Tamoxifen is really hard losing weight. You know, it's everybody gains weight, and I'm fighting
it
like a dog.
It's a steroid, and that's why.
Well, my uncle had breast cancer.
It's a steroid.
How many years ago? Bennett, how many years was it?
Well, he's been dead for about the last 7, and he had it for about the last 10 of his life, 8 or 10 of his life. He went into remission, and then he got colon cancer. And he died of heart attack, which is really amazing. But
that's the thing.
When he first got the cancer, I made a deal with him. I said, if you lose your hair, I'll shave my head. So I shaved my head, and he looks at me and says, grow it back, grow it back.
Oh, you did? You did?
Yes, I shaved. Yes, I was bald as a little cue ball, and I grew it back. But
I'll tell you.
Because once he saw me bald as a cue ball, he said, shave it back. Put it back.
It's an extremely
I want to bring Mary out in a minute, too. But, Carol, go ahead. You were going to say something.
That's what I was going to say. It's an extremely difficult thing for men, obviously, to lose their hair. But Mary and I know exactly what it is as a woman's point of view. When your hair is like your crowning glory of your body, and women lose their hair, and it's like, oh, my God, tell me about it, Mary. I went through your blog with
Hi,
you.
Hi, Mary. This is Mary.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
We're
glad you could come on the show. And, see, this is a really good show. Because, I mean, you're doing well now, too. So you want to just, before we get into the whole conversation, Mary, do you just want to talk a little bit about what happened to you? And what, you know, how this all occurred for you.
Well, before I say anything, I would just like to say to Rich that I could add a whole chapter to his book about bad dates.
Yes, we all could.
You know?
That's for the second volume, didn't you know, Rich?
Yeah, he's doing it. He's doing another book.
But you have to think of the positive over the negative.
Absolutely.
Well, making
you
positive
have to look it up.
And Mary went through a lot because Mary wrote a blog online, and I was following Mary's blog, and she really did have a rough time with chemo. Please tell us, Mary.
Yes, go ahead, Mary.
You know what? One of the things I wrote, I went back and I reviewed my blog because I'm not sure if it's old age or just chemo brain.
Yes, it's chemo brain.
I have lost my memory, so a lot of the things that I even put in my blog, I didn't even remember. But one of the things I put in there was that cancer really doesn't hurt. The lump in my breast, or lumps, never really hurt. What really hurt and was the most devastating was the chemo treatment. I was trying to look like normally between the chemo treatments, and just when I started feeling good again after chemo treatments, I would get another one. And each one, it would get worse. So the effects mm-hmm. get worse. And I actually, after my last one, I visited my son, Chris, in California and ended up, all the skin fell off of my hands and my feet and ended up in an emergency room in L.A., which is not the place you want to be. The drug addicts laying all over the floor and everything. And when I came back home, I was hospitalized for a week, and they didn't know what was wrong with me. Well, it was because my immune system was so compromised that I was so sick and had so many infections, they didn't even know what to do about it, and they just finally called it pneumonia and sent me home with with an oxygen tank, and I had to live that way for a while. So nobody should really be scared of the cancer part of it. Getting cancer and having cancer doesn't hurt. It's the treatment for it that can hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
And don't you think you
did anyone read Fran Drescher's Cancer Schmancer book?
No.
The amazing part of her book, which I thought was interesting, was she went to five doctors. And one doctor, instead of diagnosing these things as cancer, and she didn't have breast cancer, she had
ovarian.
Thank you. I'm sorry. My brain is on SIF today. But she had ovarian cancer, but the doctor said, "Oh, it's female problems," and couldn't even, you know, didn't even think it was cancer. Which, and she went, kept getting another opinion, until the final one says, "Yes, it's cancer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and let's start treatment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And she would be alive, she wouldn't be alive today if she went to the other, if she would have listened to the other four doctors.
But Mary,
so,
you know, interesting you said that. When my wife found a lump, she went in for, she had a mammogram. It was read wrong. The radiologist said, "Benign, see you next year." If she would have listened, she wouldn't have made it as far as she did. But she did not trust that. So she went in and went to another doctor, and they did a biopsy, and sure enough, right away, they said they had seen a breast cancer. But when going back to the chemo, you see, everybody reacts different. It's like a pregnancy. Every pregnancy is different. Everybody with chemo is different.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, you could see a million different side effects, but that doesn't mean you're going to get every one of them. The thing that bothered me more than anything was the lousy taste I had in my mouth. Everything tasted like kibbles and bits. I don't care what it was like eating dirt. And then you're fatigued. You're so fatigued, and your sleeping is screwed up. You know, I wouldn't get to sleep until 4 o'clock in the morning. And like she says, every round gets worse, but the fourth round, I couldn't walk. I took two steps, I was out of breath. I went to dinner with a couple of my friends, and they said, "Oh, my God."
Let me tell you, I had 16 months of chemotherapy. I had 6 months of hardcore chemo. And I guess I was just one of the lucky ones because my side effects were so minimal. It was amazing. The only thing that happened besides losing every drop of hair on my body was the steroids I was taking made me really look like the Michelin Tire girl. So here I was, this bald little fat thing. But
Was so unlike the way you look anyway, you know. And, you know, I mean, when, you know, most people, I think they've heard this already, the people that have listened before, but you and I went to lab school, you know, together. And
Marcia and I kind of grew up together.
And kind of like, you know, we weren't in the same classes, but over the years, you know, we ended up being friends over the years. And, you know. Pardon?
What?
Dishes in the dishwasher aren't clean.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm thinking about
you're talking about. 16, right?
Okay. All right. So the thing about Carol is that I always used to say to her, "Oh my God!" I mean, I should like look at her. She'd always say, "You know, she always had her hair perfect, not one, nothing. Everything was perfect." And so that was like for you. That is when you say crown and glory. That was your thing. That was your main thing. Your mother was a beautician. I mean, hair meant everything to you.
It was so traumatic. The thought of it.
Yeah.
But once my hair fell out, and I bought a wig, but once my hair fell out, I never put that wig on my head once. And at home, I never wore anything. When I went out, I wore a scarf or a hat. And I just didn't want to frighten people because I was totally bald and hairless. I mean, hairless. No eyelashes, nothing.
Yeah.
But the whole bottom line was I never, ever got down. And the chemo, no matter what, it never zapped me like it did so many people. I don't know what it was. I think it was, well, I know what it was. It was my diet, and it was living in a bubble. And like you said, Mary, you know, you got really sick and got infections. I was the opposite. I was afraid to go out of my house for fear of getting near any people. And I have two grandsons, and it was like, if you have a sniffle, don't come near me. And, I mean, this is 5 years later, and I'm still semi.
Thank God, knock wood, you know. And,
but,
you know, I mean, your attitude is great. It's upbeat. You know, Benner and I were with you last year, you know, and it's like,
oh,
you know, it's really
it's
great.
It's not
going to
get me, and it never will.
Right.
I mean, even if it ever comes back, it's like, hey, so what, you know?
Right.
I never had that what me attitude.
Yeah, no,
I was
you never
not happy.
Did. Right, I know.
No, I was not happy with it. And it's just, you've got to accept it and just take it as a pebble in your path of life and move on.
Nobody's going to get out of this life unscathed. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get out of this life unscathed. And age has nothing to do with it.
Right,
and,
you're absolutely
you know,
right.
Like,
oh, age is nothing.
The hardest thing for me, though, going through everything was, you see, before I had the breast cancer, I was like a borderline type 2 diabetic, which means no medication, just exercise and diet.
Right.
And
right.
When I went into the hospital for pneumonia, and they treated me with steroids to clear up the pneumonia, that raises your blood sugar.
It
and
sure does.
It was, they took my blood sugar, and I was on the critical list. It didn't even register. So they put me in intensive care overnight with an insulin drip and came in to check my blood every single hour. So when I came home from the hospital, I came home with insulin shots, and then I was down to a 5-milligram insulin pill. Now it's a 2.5. I check my blood 4 times a day, and I'm going to have my A1C test the end of November and hopefully get off of all that stuff. And, you know, because I worked my...
Bennett, you want to add to that, Bennett? Yes, go ahead, Bennett. Go ahead. I know you're...
No, I shoot insulin 3 times a day. I understand that. I do.
Yeah,
but it will
So I understand. I mean, I thank God don't have that bad a dose of problem that you have, Rich, but I understand about diabetes. I really do. But when my uncle had it, he spent about 4 weeks in the hospital. Because of his cancer, so
Carol,
you know, and
he
was a brittle diabetic.
See, Mary, I want to ask you a question. Where do you stand now, so we know how you're doing right now?
Right, I want to ask you that too, Mary. Please tell us.
I'm a 2-year survivor, and it's interesting you ask that question because I actually did not understand about remission, and somebody asked me, "So, are you in remission?" So I said, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. And so I asked my doctor. And when they do the surgery, and I had my mastectomy, which was October 4th of 2010, that is when I became cancer-free. When
right.
they cut the cancer out, you're cancer-free.
Absolutely.
So
you're not in remission.
The chemo, and I elected not to have radiation. But from that point forward, I really was cancer free.
Yeah.
Which I
and
why did you choose not to have radiation?
I was only stage 2A, and I researched all of the numbers about having radiation and what the negatives and the positives are about that, and.
Right.
The doctor showed me, the radiation doctor showed me, okay, here's what we have right now. Here's the statistics that we have right now. It's up to you. And I opted not to have the radiation because I felt that the side effects of the radiation would be far worse than not having it.
Right.
And I should add this. Might all be shocked. I did not take the anastrozole anymore, which is the post-menopause
drug.
Well, I decided not to take that anymore because I didn't like the side effects of that. And I eat right, I take care of myself, and I have to say I'm doing pretty good. So
I'm agreeing with you 100% not to take.
Oh my God, what's that? What is that? But I chalk it up to old age.
Well, I agree with you 100% not to take any of the postmenopausal breast cancer. I mean, menopausal drugs. I never took one menopausal drug, and yet my breast cancer was hormone related, and yet I never took anything.
Did anybody take the genetic test?
No, there was nobody in my family that had breast cancer.
Well, there's nobody in my family either.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's not a genetic thing.
And my friend, I have other friends that have had breast cancer, and no, they did not have that either. It was not in their family.
Right.
So, that's the thing.
Daughter,
it could happen to anybody.
Well, my daughter's
gynecologist. Not in my family. Nobody has diabetes.
My daughter's gynecologist has recommended down the road that perhaps she take a genetic testing to see if she's going to be predestined to it. But my sister, my mother, my grandparents, nobody ever had breast cancer. And like I said, mine was strictly hormone-related. And Mary, yes, chemo brain is real. It is real. It is a proven fact. They just did a big article about it in the Orlando Sentinel. I live in Orlando, Florida, in the Orlando Sentinel, about true chemo brain. And it really is the truth. You do lose brain cells.
You tell my family that.
Sure. Do you want me to send them an email?
Would you?
Well, even to this day, when I get like really excited when I'm trying to talk about something, and I the words get like trapped in my mouth, and I can see them in my brain, and I know what I want to say, but I can't get it out. And that's
it happens to the best of us.
No, it wasn't senile. I mean,
I didn't say you were senile at all. No.
I'll take that as an old age thing. I'll take
that's
it as
not
an
me,
thing.
Darn.
But you know,
I never say anybody is senile.
Sitting in chemotherapy in the room with other, chemo patients, it always came up as a topic for some reason or another when we were discussing things, and I would just look at them and go, oh, "I'm sorry, I forgot what I was going to say." And that was when I first heard about chemo brain. And, I mean, so then I started doing research about it, and I did ask my oncologist, and she was absolutely like, you got it right. There is such a true thing. So don't let anybody tell you that it's not true. Most cancer people have.
No, you have to figure if the chemo is killing
the good
bad
cells.
It's also
right.
killing the good cells.
That's my philosophy.
Right.
That's totally my philosophy.
So, I'll ask all of you this question because, this does come up. I would like to know what you want to tell people that why they need a mammogram and why people continually believe that it's not going to happen to them. And I just can't understand that. I mean, there are grown, intelligent, smart women, men, that's not a necessity for them as of yet. But if it's in their family. But the fact is, why is it that people just, they look at you and they go, no, I don't want to have one? I mean, how can this be happening?
Well, before you even go with that answer to anybody, there is an estimation of 2,190 new cases of breast cancer that will be diagnosed in men within the next year.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
Personally, I think a lot of it has to do with environment. I really do.
I agree. It has to do with the additives to our food.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, does the panel remember George Carlin, the late great humorist?
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
He said, we used to swim in the Hudson River full of sewage, but we used to swim in the Hudson River. We used to walk around, play stickball, run. Nowadays, there's so much this, that, and the other. I'm disease and free.
Nobody ever knows what's going to happen to them. And, I know Carol is very a big advocate on eating right. I know, Rich, you exercise. I mean, these are people you exercised before. Carol was eating right,
And I exercise all the time. I was an exercise freak, Marcia, for quite a while.
Yeah.
So I burned myself out.
So and that's what they tell people, to eat right. So possibly the reason that, thank God, everybody's doing okay is because, you know, that's one of the things with the heart and everything. People say exercise, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a heart attack, but it means you're going to recover.
Right.
You know,
no, I can't say that. The runner Jim Fix ran and was a healthy thing like that.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack and dropped dead.
That was,
running.
He did not know.
It just happened.
He did not know what was in his genes.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, that has a lot to do with it. It truly does have a lot to do with it. But nutrition, to me, I mean, I grew up in a family that had the largest health food corporation in the United States. And health food and vitamins, all that stuff was shoved down my throat from the time I was a little kid. And I still do it. And, I mean, it's just something that's been stuck with me all my life. But nutrition is, once you get cancer, nutrition is your way back to being cancer-free. And something I learned, which I wish I would have known a long time ago, I used to follow all the diets of, you know, try to prevent breast cancer, because I've had fibrocystic breast since I was 19, and I'm well past that age. And I always...
That was last year, right?
Thank you, Bennett. And I've always been told soy was really wonderful, that you should eat soy, that soy is really good for you, and it helps, you know, protect you against breast cancer. Well, guess what? Just the opposite.
Yeah, I think people should just probably eat right and exercise. And, you know, in life, honestly, we all have to just, you know, in everybody's family there's something, and we just have to live the best we can, you know, because nobody does know from the next minute. And so, I mean, here there's three of you here. There's three of you, and knock wood, you went through hell, but you're doing well, which is what
the only good thing is.
I don't believe putting yourself in any risk factors. And what risk factors are, you don't eat a lot of fried food and stuff like that, it increases your risk.
Yeah,
you stay away from smoke, it increases your risk. If you're overweight, it increases your risk. Try to stay away. I try to put myself away from any risk factors.
I
work out.
Like
if you don't work out, you're putting yourself at risk. Just for
that. I think you did that before.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to dispute you, sir. But yet, on the other hand, once a week, I got to get my chili dog. I got to go down to 7-Eleven, put the chili and cheese dog on, and the onions and the rest of that, and the sauerkraut, and enjoy the thing, and hear that crunch. And you know, as much as it's
not
healthy, that's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, but he's not saying
don't eat it. If I did that, I'd feel guilty for about 3 days, and it's not worth it. My favorite food is pizza. I love pizza. If I was going to the electric chair, that'd be my last meal. But you know something? I stay away from it as much as I possibly can. And,
and when I do eat it,
I'll eat just the top and eat the crust. So,
but you can't cut yourself off from living either.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, because you could walk across the street and get hit by a car and die.
You're absolutely right.
There are a lot of guilty pleasures in life that you shouldn't use on a regular basis. Or eat on a regular basis, but you can't, like, just curl up and say, I can never have it again. It's like chocolate.
You know,
they found out that chocolate is the best thing you could eat.
Well, wait a second. Chocolate is a beans are vegetables. Chocolate is a vegetable. Chocolate is a bean. So I'm sorry, it's a healthy food.
70% cocoa. And they said if you eat 1 ounce a day, that actually will improve your health. And your heart. And almonds.
Almonds. You know, yeah. Mary, I wanted to ask you a question. Are you going to be do something with your blog now that you're, you know, feeling okay? And, you know, because Carol said you had a great blog, and you said you had a blog, and are you going to be
wonderful?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question, because you really have inspired me to, like I said, I went back and I reread it. And you know what? I didn't know that I was so funny.
Okay.
You were hysterical.
You're very funny. When are you putting out your book?
No, I think you should.
Mary,
you know,
it was wonderful.
Thanks. And I want to add something about the whole everything in moderation thing.
Uh-huh.
I guess my attitude about post-chemo and post-cancer has been, you know what, I lived it, I went through it, and I'm not going to deny myself things that I found pleasure in before.
Exactly.
Which is,
that's my chili dog. You got the doctor says if I have one a week, even though I've got all the sodium and nitrates, it's worth it.
Let her finish.
Right.
Go ahead, Mary.
Well, you know, and he's totally right. It's the chili dog theory, and I might even name my blog that because.
Remember, I get credit for it.
No worries. You can't stop living because
exactly.
You've been through this experience.
Right.
I'm
with you.
It's a bump in the road. It's not a roadblock.
It's a pebble.
And
it's a pebble on the path.
It's a pebble, right. It's not a boulder. And we've all
exactly.
gotten through this. We're all here to talk about it.
And that's why you're on. That's why you're on, because I don't want people to be afraid of this, and I want people to know that after you have something like this, you go on.
Oh, absolutely. Life goes on tremendously.
Yes.
You know,
and
I
think the best thing about this is to have a great attitude about it say, you know what, cancer's not that, it's not a formidable opponent. It's an opponent that can be beat. You know, we can float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Right.
Well, let me ask a question that I have found with friends who have cancer. Suddenly, people tend to shy away from you. Not me, because but they shy away because suddenly you have cancer.
No,
they may not shy away from you, but a lot of people get shied away from because they suddenly don't want to get too close, because if something does happen to you, they don't want to feel like, oh, my God, I was the, you know, and feel the guilt of association.
You get the weepy people. Oh, my God,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. This has happened to you. Oh, my God.
You
know, I don't know.
Let me interject.
Rich say something. What was that?
Go, Rich.
Go ahead.
Let me interject this. The way I look at it with my philosophy is I feel very lucky. I feel very lucky that I caught it early enough. There could be a lot of worse things. Believe me when I tell you. There's terrible cancers that don't give you, that you don't find until it's too late. You look at all these different, you know, I feel very fortunate and very lucky. And my philosophy is I put a lot of it in the rearview mirror and go straight ahead. Because I do what I want to do as long as I can do it, because there'll be a time when I can't do it. I lived on both sides of it. I took care of somebody that had cancer, and I had it. And you know something, it's changed me to be a little more, to look at things a little bit differently. I had 1 hour of pity party for myself when I first found out, and then I just went straight ahead and took care of everything I have to do. And that's the way you have to live your life. You get to a certain age. You know, we don't know what tomorrow, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but
that's
we
right.
do know what today is.
And you just
have to go on. I watch what I eat basically because of the diabetes thing. I don't want that to be bad, okay, because that is a silent killer. So, you know, I don't have my chili dog because that will shoot my numbers through the roof. The thing is this, I've eaten this way before I even had the cancer. So it's just a matter of adjustment in your life. And, you know, there's always people that have worse, people that lose children, people that have a debilitating, you know, like ALS, stuff like that. You know something? I still feel very fortunate because, like, I know I'm not going to get out of this life unscathed. Something's going to happen to me.
Right.
And if this is my bump in the road and this is it for a while, I'm very content.
Well, we have to remember also that we've achieved the age that we're at and just recently experienced these things. Look at these poor little kids or younger girls or younger men that are dying.
Well, there's a lot of young women. And, you know, and my first show that I had, I think we had Bright Pink, and they are all young girls, you know. And Carol, I think we didn't say this time, but I think when you were having your chemo, you had some interesting experiences. And how old were these girls that were sick?
I met people that were girls that were in their 20s and 30s. That were, one girl was 35, was stage 4. Breast cancer with 2 young children, and she did not make it. And I also just recently found out that one of my chemo buddies who we were in chemo together. And when she finished a little bit before I did, and she was an Orlando policewoman, and she was in her 40s when she determined, found the lump and was shocked. I think latter 30s, very early 40s, and went through the same treatment, not as long as I did, but she went through a very similar treatment, and I just found out a few months ago that it has now spread throughout her whole body. And she didn't, she's still here, but it, prognosis is not very good.
So I think that basically
20, 30
I think that,
years
right,
younger
right,
than
that,
me.
Right, and the thing is, nobody does know, and I think what Rich said is right, and you know, and now he's writing another dating book because he's still out there looking for that perfect date. You know, Bennett, that's a good show for Bennett. What, did they have all these people on because they all have...
Nobody's asked me yet, I'll wait.
But it's really interesting.
But you see,
though,
I don't
how,
do topics on my Anything Goes show. I just have a good time.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, we did shows for a long time together because we have done a lot of shows together because,
exactly.
Truthfully, that's what I have decided, you know, to do is have a good time with these shows and have people on that we want to have fun. I mean, it's not always about selling your book and marketing and marketing and marketing. I can't stand thinking about it every
five
minutes.
I don't mind an author plugging
stories.
The book at the beginning and
yes,
the end of the show. Everything else in the middle,
yeah,
the
right,
creamy
the
center,
middle, right.
is mine.
Right. Yeah,
Rich,
well,
I don't know anything
right.
about your book,
but, you know,
but it
but
sounds
Rich
like
does
it's
have
fun.
A book. I just want, Rich does have two books, so I, you know, I want you to just say the names of the book and your website because he does have two books. So, you know,
they sound fun.
My website is richweiner.com, and you spell Weiner, W-I-E-N-E-R. And the two books I have is, the first one is Check, Please, and Hurry. There's 47 stories, and they're men and women of dates that are really funny, and they're all true. And by popular, demand, I have to write another book because people want me to write another book on this. And the other book I wrote was the one that basically I really am pushing because I donate to breast cancer for every book that they sell, and it's called,
right.
And I guess my daughter-in-law actually helped me with the title of it. You know, it's like, I have what? One
yeah.
Man's Journey Through Breast Cancer. And,
right.
You know, and everybody that's read it has really liked it.
Well, yeah, because you know what? I mean, you know, and I think that was good for you to do during chemotherapy. And, you know, I have, when you got it, and I was saying to people, they didn't even know that men got it. So, I mean, it's just a natural
well,
to do that because
and think
you
about
right
it.
Now I'm, but right now I'm in the process of speaking in front of any organizations that want me to speak on it.
Right.
When I have book signings, I speak on it. People could ask me any questions. And, you know, it's more of educating people.
Has any other men wrote a book about breast cancer?
Yeah, there was a
yeah,
book.
There are.
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
Wrote.
There are.
Is there?
Yeah, well, you know, like you know this. Everybody has a different experience.
My uncle had it. Friends of mine have had it.
No, no,
so
I
understand
that. I mean, are there other books on this? Because I thought Rich's one of his books. I thought his book was one of the first.
No, there were other books.
Okay.
One guy wrote a book back in 2009, but it was like War and Peace. It's so thick. Who could read a book like that?
Wait a second.
No,
what about
yeah.
Okay? And I know it's not male breast cancer, but Cornelius Ryan wrote his book called A Private Battle. Cornelius Ryan, of course, who wrote The Longest
right.
Day and A Bridge Too Far, which I thought his book was masterful in the way that he thought his body was a cancer, his body was a war map. He read his own tests with the doctor. He knew his diagnosis as well as the doctor did. He knew, you know, he planned it like a war strategy. His diet was, of course, like you would give rations to the troops on the front lines. And so,
well,
even though...
I couldn't read a book. Sorry, but I couldn't.
Oh, it was fascinating.
Yeah, but I'd probably lose interest. Rich, I can't wait to read your book. It sounds really cool.
It is. Everybody that's read it has read it. You know, actually, here I am as an ex-phys ed teacher and an athletic director. Never thought I would write a book. And here I've had two books published in a year, and actually having fun with it. Yeah, thank God for editing, you know?
Yeah,
well,
yeah thank God for editing.
You got the topics, that's for
yeah.
sure.
No, editing does matter. We talk about that all the time. And that's
yeah.
how I met you, right, because that's the truth. Editing does matter because that makes your book readable. you know, for people, and that makes it understandable. And so, you know, Bennett is a critic, and he reviews a lot of books.
And I'm a meanie too. Let's be honest. I have told
you,
some authors that their subplots don't work, and then they get mad at me and like, why did you have to put that down? Because it's the truth.
We got to get Mary to write her blog.
Yeah, I think we lost Mary altogether. She's not.
I think Mary has to put her blog on.
Yeah, she's going
through.
I talked to her about that. Yeah, and we lost her. I don't know what happened because of the phone. I don't know.
I'm here. I've just been absorbing all this because
it's very
important.
Oh,
cool.
See you on the switchboard, which is
I
don't see you on the. Yeah, because I don't see you on the switchboard. I thought you were gone because Bennett knows this about.
Well, we don't want to lose you, Mary. We like you too much.
Her blog. You guys have got to read her blog. Mary, tell everybody how to get to your blog.
Yeah, that's what I want you to do.
Oh, okay. It's www.blogspot.com/mamacitasjourney.com.
And that's Mamacita.
I'm called Mamacita because my daughter started calling me Mamacita a long time ago, and then it's kind of funny because when I started dating Bill and I told him I was Mamacita, he goes, well, doesn't that mean you're like a Spanish, woman? And I said, no, it's a term of endearment. What are you talking about? I never knew that before, but that's what it is, Mamacita's Journey.
So maybe she heard that on. Maybe she heard it on. Do you think she heard it on? Like I don't know. I mean, she might have heard that word. How did she know to pick that word up?
It's maybe just a word.
My daughters
Sesame
are
Street? Sesame?
Very creative, and just
Sesame.
One day they started calling me Mamacita, and it kind of blossomed. I am now, though, to my granddaughters, I am now Mimi.
Okay.
Yes.
Whoever you are, right, it's like whoever, as long as they're talking to you, that's what we want. Good family relations. We try for that, good family relations. So, and I do think, it's good to, the blog, and, Carol is, I always keep telling Carol to do something because I always want her on my shows to do something, and I haven't convinced her yet to figure out what she wants to do. But,
I know, when I grow up, I'll figure it out, Marcia.
Right.
And I'd like to add something else to all this.
Oh, absolutely.
Something that I found very helpful, and I'm not sure if I ever put it in my blogs, but there's a wonderful organization called Innerman's Angels. And
what's it called?
Innerman's Angels.
Okay.
Innermans Angels. And what they do, and it's not just for breast cancer, but it's a wonderful organization based in Chicago, Illinois, and what they do is they match up victims, if there's no better term for that, victims, survivors, and caregivers. So if somebody is going through a particular type of cancer and you email them, they will match you up as closely as they can with age, type of cancer, experience, age, match you up. If you are a survivor, they will match you up with a victim.
Right.
If you're a caregiver, they will match you up with another caregiver because, once you're diagnosed with cancer, sometimes you don't know who to talk to.
You need
because
a mentor.
It's like anything.
Yeah.
You never had this before. Other people just don't get it.
Right, they mentor you.
Like, oh, my God, what's the matter with that person? I don't see anything wrong with them. Oh, their hair's falling
out.
Well,
that's the point. That's what I said before about people shying away. They do shy away.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that person? Why is that person, dare I say the word, weird? They're uncomfortable with that person because that person is not part of, per se, the norm to them.
Well, can I tell you something funny?
The funniest thing about that is people staring at your breasts. That is the funniest thing.
They do right away.
They don't stare at mine because I don't have any.
They don't have mine either.
I
wanted reconstructive surgery, and I said,
What? Are you crazy? What do I want some reconstructive surgery for?
Rich, I didn't go for it either. I didn't go for it either. My oncologist and my surgeon both were like, you know, you're still very young. You still should go for reconstructive surgery. And I said, you know what? I don't care. I just want to survive. I don't care about having breasts any longer.
Yeah.
And I still can go. I mean, 5 years down the road, my insurance can pay. Will pay for it if I go. Yes.
Carol, tell them what.
Yeah.
Tell them what your comment to me was about it. When we were messaging each other back and forth, and I was kind of freaking out about the reconstruction. Tell them what your comment to me was. Do you remember?
I vaguely don't. What are you talking about? Chemo brain here.
You said
my breasts don't define me.
Right, and you said that you had always been well endowed growing up.
Yes, ma'am.
And now you were so happy to be able to wear a T-shirt.
Right, I went from T-shirts to bras back to T-shirts again, and I love it.
And
you're right. You're right, Mary. I mean, I always had big breasts when I, you know, and as I got older, they weren't, you know, they were so big. And of course, as you get, definitely not perky. And when my surgeon was the one who suggested wholeheartedly that I think about this really carefully, and I made up my mind in 24 hours, and I didn't ask my family. I told them what I was going to do. And they said, it's your body, and you decide what you want to do as long as it makes you happy and well. And you're right, Mary, I did. And I still tell that to people. It's like I still get comments from people every now and then about, oh, well, why didn't you get reconstructive surgery, or why don't you wear prosthesis? And I said, why? I said, nobody cares. And if they do,
you made the decision for you. I think that's what people have to do. They have to just really think about what they want, not what everybody else wants, what they want. You know, and then you've got to live like this, and this is your decision.
I chose a bilateral.
Yep.
My surgeon didn't suggest it. She said, you know, a single mastectomy. And again, I did this thought and said, well, okay. What is it, 2 years or 5 years? It comes back on the other side. I can be brave one time, but I don't know if I could be brave twice. And I just said, nope, we're doing a bilateral. And she said, you want to do it? That's fine with me.
Now, Rich, I wanted to ask Rich one question before I forget this. Rich, now, did you tell your doctor about the book? Did you send your doctor the book?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to see him at my party. I'm going to give him a book then.
Okay. Yeah, I think you should, because I think that would be a really good thing, because I think, you know, this is going to, you know, this is going to come up, and I think, you know, and he probably won't know that you've done it. So, I mean, I think it's a good idea to do that. And maybe you should send it before that, because this way he could read it before.
Marcia, he's got a quote in the book.
Oh, so he knows you wrote one. Okay, good.
He knows I have a book. The breast surgeon has a quote in the book, and he has a quote in the book.
But how inspiring it is for other people to have a book like that that they should read, especially, you know.
Well, I think that's the thing. Because certain things, you know, and it was really unbelievable how many people, when I had mentioned this to people that, you know, were authors that, you know, because Rich had been with a certain, you know, he had his book published. And I told some of the people, and they did not even know about it. And I was shocked. And then, so, you know, that people did not know. And so I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons I feel these shows are important, because there are still people that don't believe, that don't realize this. And there's also people that don't know, that don't really want to have a mammogram because they're afraid, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough.
You're so absolutely right. I can't tell you how many. And I have a very dear friend, and I keep saying to her, have you gone for a mammogram lately? No, I haven't gone for a mammogram. And I'm like, why?
I said,
I know. We're good friends. Isn't my experience enough to tell you?
Yeah, but
that
you can't make them do this. And, you know, that's why shows like this, that's why, you know, I want to do this, because I do know people that don't do this. And
They don't hurt. Some people claim that they hurt. Okay. They might be a little
Carol, it's 5 seconds. It's 5 seconds.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Exactly.
I was just going to say.
Hold your breath
in
5 seconds. I think that's,
and that's
you know,
it. It's over and done with, and you walk out.
Hurts more.
Pardon me?
Right? Does not a paper cut hurt more, really, than the whole smushing and smashing?
Right, I think that, you know, I think that this is why, and hopefully we'll all be here next year, and you're all invited back next year. And I know I promised everybody they'll be, you know, able to leave this, go off on the show, because we have the debate coming on. And that's why, I didn't know that when we did this, so that's why we had it earlier than I ever had a show, you know, in the past. And, you know, if there's any questions or anything that you, if you want to reach any of these guests, you can, you know, always mail me at mba3308@aol.com or go on Marcia Casper Cook now, which I made everything easier because I put everything together. So if you ever want to
find it is easier, I know.
Yeah, I did.
You guys are laughing.
Yeah,
and she's also on LinkedIn, by the way. You guys can add her on LinkedIn as well as me and other people.
You're on Bennett has a show on Friday nights. You know, that is,
it's called Anything Goes.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happens.
Right.
Are you on Blog Radio, the same Blog Radio?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Friday
I'll,
at
you know what,
10
Carol,
o'clock
I'll
Eastern
send
Standard.
Yeah.
Yes. Send
yeah,
me a
I'll
link
send you
to
the
it.
Link every week. You know, and Rich,
know.
Is there any last words you'd like to say to everybody about what you're doing here? Just, you know, you have a lot of things planned, and you have also, in case, you know, you do have a book signing coming up Saturday.
Have,
yeah, talk about that a little.
I've got a book signing, and I live in a place called the Glen.
Glenview. It's Glenview, Illinois.
In Glenview, and there's a place called the and I'm having a book signing there on Saturday, and then on October 25th at the Drake Hotel, I am having a book signing. That's going to be a pretty big one. And
you're going to the Drake Hotel? Wow, you are lucky.
Right, and like I said, I am very aggressive in selling my book because the more books I sell, the more, the more money I can raise to send for breast cancer research. So, again, my website is richweiner.com, and you can order a book. You can read excerpts from I have both books on there, so you could take a look. You also have my news clip from when I was on Channel 2, did a story on me, and I was on the news on October the 9th. So, I'm really pushing on this.
Have you been putting all that on your website or on Facebook and things like that?
It's on Facebook.
And on my Facebook. My Facebook has a page where I have what? It's got I was on the live interview in Milwaukee, and it has the CBS piece. So,
You can put this link. You can put this link also on your page, by the way, Rich.
It's on there already.
Because Rich is
it's on, and then it's also on. You know, it's on my blogs, and it's on. You know, a lot of things for you know.
And then Mary posted it too.
Yeah.
So
Mary, and we're going to see Mary's blog more. Mary, and you know, you can send me you know anything, and I'll put it out on a you know on my blog that you want.
And another thing I'm doing, which Marcia knows about, I'm having a celebration of life party. And it's a lot better than a funeral, and I've got about 70 people coming to it. I've got music and food, and you know, and it's just celebrating life.
And see, I think that's what you need to do.
In Illinois.
Is my invitation in the mail, Rich?
Yeah.
Makes me wish I was back in Illinois. But I don't want your weather. I like my weather.
Yeah, I know.
Better.
That's the thing.
I understand that. But, Rich, did you make sure I get my invitation now?
Me too.
In the mail there.
See,
you're all in Illinois.
Okay.
You guys are all in Illinois.
Mary's from Illinois. Mary's in Illinois. Carol was in Illinois. Rich is in Illinois. I'm here. You know, we're all here. We're all four of us are from Chicago.
And I'm in D.C. in the lovely, cool weather.
Oh, I thought you lived in Illinois, too.
No,
I'm a D.C. boy.
Okay. So you and I are both out of the
circle
there.
Virginia
but
doesn't
if Rich invited me to the party, I'd try to come.
Virginia, and like Virginia Grenier and myself, she's in Utah. I mean, all these people, and Fran Lewis, she's in New York. I mean, we're all over the place. You know,
for some particular reason, I just thought Bennett lived in Illinois, too, because I know.
No, but thank you, though, for the compliment. I like D.C. It's a nice area. But I love New Jersey better, and I love E.T., and I love everything else. But what I do love is, you know, the East Coast is lovely this time of year. I love Illinois. Illinois is a great place, but I'd rather be in New Jersey than Illinois. I'm sorry. I like New Jersey a heck of a lot better.
Okay, before we go, Bennett, you have a show Friday night?
I have a show Friday night. I have Jody Olson and Roberta Rivera And I will be on the Alejandra show the week after. That's Ace, and that will be on her
Anastasia
show on the 25th.
Haldrich. Anastasia Haldrich. Right?
Yeah, Anastasia. I'll be on her show. I'll be the only guest on her show for a whole hour. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and that will also be on Blog Talk Radio. That's
all of
scary when you're the only guest for an hour. You either have to do card tricks. It's on radio. You either have to do card tricks or really have to be smart.
Somehow, Bennett, I think you'll make it.
Yeah, I think you don't have to worry about Bennett.
We don't have to worry about you, Bennett.
And
I think
also,
you can handle it.
I should say that Fran Lewis has a book discussion with Iris Johansson and Larry Thompson. They've both been on her shows, and they're really both really good authors. And then, as our usual, it's Storytime Gather Round is on Saturday, and that is with J.D., and that is with J.D. Holiday and also Christy Condelet, and that's been really good. It's for kids to listen to, and it's all about books for children.
Oh, cool.
And it's about we don't talk, the people that are on it don't really talk much. They read stories to the kids. Did I tell you about that, Carol? I don't know. It's really it's good.
Marcia, I have to say one thing because I know people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are listening that will be at this event. And a mutual friend of ours, Count Gore Duvall, will be showing his movie at the Utopia Film Festival. And he's having me introduce him and help with the Q&A after the movie. So that'll be this Saturday night on the 20th.
He was on our Halloween show last year.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
Yes, I will. Send you all these links. Yeah, there are.
This is not radio. This one's not radio. This is
no,
you have to be in.
No, but
you
no,
have
no,
to
no,
be
no,
in Greenbelt,
Marcia,
Maryland for the Utopia Film Festival for this one.
No, Bennett, that's not what I said. Marcia, you did send me the link to the children's books, and I forwarded it to my daughter.
Okay, yeah.
For my
grandchildren. Well, it's doing very well. And then.
That's super.
The character from No Clues, No Shoes, Emelina, she will be reviewing for that show, for books for children, yeah. And Rich, I hope you stay well. Mary, Carol, Bennett,
everybody stay well.
I'm always staying well.
Marcia, you too.
Yes, thank you. Yes,
and Mary,
Marcia stays well no matter what, because she knows the death threat that I'll nurse her.
We don't do that. We never say the knock.
Mary, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I am so excited that you did.
Yeah, Mary, and Rich, thank you very much for talking about this
too.
I think it'll help people, because this stays out for a long time. This link, it stays as far as long as. Blog
talk
goes on. We all have our links.
I heard a show from 2 years ago, so it stays on.
Right, I've done shows for almost three years now. So yeah, they are on. They're on all over. And Rich, I'll give you Bennett's address. You can send him because he'll review hopefully your book.
Okay.
Bennett. But you want both of them?
I don't guarantee anything, but I'll try.
You want both of his books?
Like Bennett, you were quiet for a second. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry?
You got quiet for a second when she said that.
I'm listening. I'm trying to be a good co-host and listen.
Yeah.
I'm getting old and senile.
Mary, are you still there?
I am. Thank you so much.
And Mary, you need to put your blog in book form. Is that good?
Yes. Yes, and thank you so much for agreeing to do
this. I just want
to
see one thing. There is somebody on the line. I just want to see if they had a question because I didn't take questions.
Okay.
But let's see. I don't know if they were just listening to the show. Do you have a question? It's Marcia. No, they're probably just listening then. Okay, I'm sorry.
We told a lot of people to listen.
Yeah,
I
should say, I think Bennett, we probably should say this a lot of times on your show too, that, if they call in and they don't press 1, they can stay on and listen to the whole show, which I do a lot of times.
Too many people press 1, though. I get 20 people sometimes, and I'm like, are you hello? And they're like, I'm just listening. And
yeah,
so I put them on mute.
I saw on Facebook that Mary...
Well, good night, everybody, because
good
I'm
night.
Going to watch the debate.
Yes, good night.
Good night, Rich. It was nice talking to you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
What time is it?
Take care, all.
Mm-hmm. Is it time?
Yeah, almost. No, it's only 7:30.
Oh, no.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all the company.
It's not even 8:30 yet.
I know.
We have to watch the debate, but it's only 8:30.
Okay, great. Mary, And wow. Mary, thank you so much again. And Bennett, I'll talk to you. And Carol, I'll talk to you. So thank
you
all.
Yes, guys. Thank
you all
so much.
And have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.